Welcome to Vital Connections On Air, a podcast brought to you by University of Minnesota Extension Center for Community Vitality that explores the trends and topics important to communities and leaders throughout Minnesota. My name is Christy Kalovig, Extension Educator for the Center for Community Vitality, and today we're going to talk more about community conversations. And I am excited to be joined by Deanne Lall and Shanna Clint, who are members of a team that led community conversations in Campbell, Minnesota. Welcome to the podcast, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's start first. I'm going to ask you each to introduce yourselves. And so, Deanne, why don't we start with you?
After I got married is when I moved to Campbell. So my husband grew up there.
Well, Campbell has definitely benefited from both of you moving back. Tell us about the community. Exactly where is it located and what is the community like?
Well, it's located southwest of Fergus Falls and southeast of Breckenridge, Minnesota, about 20 miles. We have a restaurant, bar, one church, one school, which is a preschool through 12th grade, a grain elevator, train tracks that go through it. But even though our community is small, it's thriving in some areas with families who are connected and we know each other. We help each other out with things, different things like that.
Shanna, I know that you, along with Deanne, you're both alumni of the Emerging Leadership Program, which is a leadership program up in the northwestern part of Minnesota. But what made you decide to participate in the program Community Conversations for Change? Was there something about your community that made you think that, yes, we need to have some conversations in our town, because there was either something that you wanted to do or some change that you wanted to create?
In the first place, they have always referred to, well, it's just Campbell. Well, that's not a tagline that you want attached to where you claim as your home. So I think there was a whole group of, I'm going to say middle age, which is our age. But then there's the older generation that have put in so much work, but then there was a little bit of lag time. And then now there's all of us that we're actually outskirts of Campbell. So we cared enough that if we could bring in our older generation to help almost mentor us as we were having a conversation, then that's almost where the magic key would be, is our energy and their knowledge, and then to see what would happen, to see what would come of it.
And Deanne, because you were involved, you know, you went out and reached out to these other ladies, what about holding a conversation in your community was appealing to you?
Well, for me, because when I worked in Wahpeton, you know, I felt a little bit more connected with Wahpeton only because I worked there. So I knew what was going on. But I felt bad because I actually really lived by Campbell. And so I just wanted to learn more about Campbell, but I didn't know how to do it when I was living or working in Wahpeton. And so when I actually started working in Campbell, I just really started to think, well, how many other people were like me and don't really know much about Campbell or hear about activities that are happening in the town to support our own local community. And so through the ELP program and I think it was Jody kind of reached out to me about being on the planning committee, it just piqued my interest. And I was like, yeah, I want to hear more about this, because if there's a way for me to help out my community, helping it either grow or just blossom or become more attractive, I guess you could say, to other people, I wanted to, I guess, do what I could. So it just kind of piqued my interest to help our community.
It did become a blaring fact fact that while we were starting to have our first couple meetings with our invite people, that if, you know, hands were going up, that if you didn't have a child in school and you weren't connected to the school, that's kind of where all the buzz was happening. Otherwise, you wouldn't know about anything that was going on. You know, so it was either a retired ring that was in Campbell, or it was all the people that had kids, or if you were neither, then you literally were going elsewhere because you didn't feel included. So that became obvious in our first couple meetings.
Well, that's really interesting. So, you know, kind of through this process, you were able to maybe even help folks feel more connected to the community as a whole or build some of those bridges.
And that's after I came back from that planning committee, I think I almost drove right to Shanna's house. But I was I was really pumped, but I knew I couldn't do this myself. I knew I needed help and people on my initial team that knew more people and kind of lived there longer and kind of thing, because I still kind of felt like I was a newbie. I think I went right to Shanna's and we talked about it right away.
So let's go back to, Shanna and Deanne, you guys are sitting at Shanna's house and are excited about this idea. How did it move from that initial meeting to actually getting the conversations going? What were kind of your steps in between, and how did you include others in the process?
Well, we knew we had to pick a team, I guess. So that was kind of our initial, was who did we want directly on our team? So that's where the four of us, Karen, Rebecca, Shanna, and myself, kind of just said, yep, we're going to do it. We're going to sign up with this program. And so then we went through the steps with the training of the Conversations for Change with the University of Minnesota Extension, had some planning sessions with the four of us, along with those training sessions, and decided to kept our, should we say, our leadership team small. We kept it with the four of us, mm-hmm. but we pulled in four others, probably more as a support team, wouldn't you say, Shanna? That was more mm-hmm. supportive, but ultimately us four ladies are the ones that went in front of the group and did the leading, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, we were given guidelines on who to pull and who to invite to our conversation. There was a number of people assignments that we were to think of, and it made for a very well-rounded group, which was super helpful, because when we did all these checkoffs of lists of, okay, yep, this one's in the Lions, this one's a fireman, this one's a new teacher, this one's lived in Campbell for 60 years. It made for a pretty rich conversation because you had everybody kind of there. And then we were always asking ourselves, who's not here that should be here? And then that's kind of how it grew. So.
And we created postcards, and we to kind of say, hey, you're invited. We laid out four dates mm-hmm. ahead of time. So we knew we were going to have a meeting once a month. We laid out those dates to try and just give everyone enough time to think about it and kind of commit to it, encouraging them to try to make it to all four. But obviously, we know things happen. And then we tried to personally invite those people. We broke up the list between the four of us, and we tried in some form to either, face-to-face give it to them, or at least personally drop it off at their house. But we didn't put it through the mail, I guess, mm-hmm. as our invitation.
Okay. And did you use social media at all for those invitations? Or, I mean, I'm hearing that it was a lot of like you know, personal ask that you didn't leave it to chance.
Right. We didn't use social media at all for the invitation. It was that paper postcard and face to face.
It was always negative. So it was fun to get all this positive energy flowing through the veins, because once they would leave their positive, then if you're positive and you're talking, then that just spreads like wildfire. So it kind of became contagious. That was good.
That's really exciting. And I love what you guys said about, you know, taking a look at and kind of evaluating who wasn't there that should be there. And how did you then work to get those people that weren't involved in that first round of invites? Did you do a second round of invites and keep going that way? Or did you, you know, ask folks to bring along someone else to the next meeting? How did you do that?
We did. I think in our first meeting, we did kind of extend, or we asked, you know, who else should we include? And I think that's when we pulled in a few others, if I recall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was still a personal ask.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Yep. And because it's such a small community, you know, and people talk and chatter, and usually they know what's happening at the community center. But mm-hmm. since this was a new thing, and, you know,
there was people that weren't there.
Yeah, people that weren't invited directly saw vehicles there, and they're like, "What's going on?" Kind
What's
of a thing.
What's going on?
And we always approached it with, you know, we can share, but we're not going to necessarily invite everybody. But we're just having a conversation, and then at mm-hmm. the end is where we did invite the entire community to kind of share the results of the conversation. So. Mm-hmm. We did eventually invite everybody and say, hey, here, this is what we've been doing for the last 4 months.
How did you guys keep the conversations positive? Because I have been in those small communities and know it can be a challenge when it's always the negative. How did you guys keep mm-hmm. it positive?
I guess we just kept steering it more towards it. We didn't put down the fact, or we didn't put down the negative. I mean, we acknowledged that, yes, you know, we do have negative aspects, but I think as a whole, the four leader ladies just tried to keep it positive and keep them looking forward. And it was almost like that yes and kind of mm-hmm. attitude.
And this stuff was in our training. So, you know, we all had a nervous factor, I will say, because, you get the loudest, squeakiest wheel going, and that one is going south. It will take the whole crowd down. So in our training, there was definitely points that were strongly put to us that, like Deanne said, the yes and. I mean, you can't ignore that bad things have happened. You can't ignore that there is negativity in everything that you're going to try and put out there. But, our training was super key on that part, because there might not have been saving it a couple times if we had not been trained how we were.
And with our first meeting, we did establish those rules or our mm-hmm. guidelines, and we had everybody agree to those guidelines and or, you know, add more. What did they feel that we needed to add to it or keep them the way those guidelines were, you know, for being respectful and listening to each other. So we had that buy-in from the start.
Well, and it sounds as though, I mean, you guys just made sure that you were very prepared to handle, even though you had that nervousness. I like that you brought mm-hmm. that up, because everybody has that going into these. But,
sure.
If you were prepared, you could at least navigate it better.
Each of the four of us brought in different strengths, too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And connections to all of these people.
And connections.
Yeah.
Yep. Between each conversation meeting, the four of us got together beforehand and planned, kind of figured out who was taking which part, and just so we were prepared. So we did our homework, then we had our group meeting.
This definitely was not a fly by the seat of your pants effort going on again.
No, it was a hat that I had on the entire time span. I don't know, Deanne, how many months was it? Like 10 months?
Yeah,
it wasn't
at least
quite a year, but maybe it was a year. But it was something that was always in the back of my head if we weren't within days of a meeting. But, you know, and then because you had this interaction with people outside of it, they would always kind of check in and bounce, and which was fun to know that they couldn't get it out of their mind either. And we gave them homework too.
And tell me about when you invited the entire community, when you lifted the curtain, if you will, so that everybody could see what was going on. What was that experience like for the community?
That was nerve-wracking. I remember.
I was excited.
Yeah.
I was nervous, but I was excited.
Thinking, okay, is this going to be enough for them? And are they going to jump on the wagon with us and have more energy towards what we are all heading for? Or is it just going to still be us? Which maybe still would have been fine, but it would have been a whole lot more work if we wouldn't have gotten the rest to, you know, go along with, yeah, you guys have thought through a lot of stuff and we are here willing to help. So
you had your four conversations, and then when you had this large community gathering, what exactly were you presenting to them?
So the results of our conversations were, we ended up figuring out our focus of like what direction do we want Campbell to go to, and it created three different committees. So we came up with the convenience store gas station committee.
Yep.
The signage
and park
committee, and then a mural or signage and mural. That's what it was. Signage and mural committee and the playground committee. And so we kind of summed up each conversation, and then we said, and now we've developed these four committees, and we would like you to sign up. You know, how can you help? What kind of things can you bring to these committee? What interests you? What are your strengths that you can help these committees to move forward and actually kind of do something for Campbell?
And out of our small group that we had met with four times, we had three either, I don't remember if it was, there was a couple that was a husband and wife, or people that had agreed, I will help head up this committee. I will be the leader of this. So out of our little group, they even split into three, and then it was kind of like, at the massive meeting, it was kind of like, okay, who's going to be on my team? Who's going to be on her team? You know, so then it was nice because we presented and organized three different areas that we knew somebody's got to be interested in one of these. And so let's start getting our numbers together, you know, and let's start getting a plan of action for these three different areas. So it was kind of like,
because we already essentially picked the team captain. So we didn't need to have people volunteer to head it up. We just needed people to volunteer to help.
Yeah, because I mean, oh, I'll be on something, but I'm not going to be in charge of it. Oh, okay. Well, that's fine because we already have somebody in charge of it. So if you are willing to help them, they're going to come forward with a plan. And you just need to have the energy to show up and help do the work. So from then on, it kind of flowed, and it was pretty impressive to see everybody just yeah, let's do this. Let's do all of this.
That's a really exciting. And so, I mean, what happened next? I feel like this is the best book I've ever read. What happened next?
Well, we've actually had two major accomplishments out of the three. I mean, two of them are like done and checked off the list. They accomplished what they set out to do. Go ahead.
We really kind of just let it go and let them formulate within their own project groups of when they want to meet, how often they want to meet, and that sort of a thing. And, you know, we just kind of touched base with them. And we also had the opportunity with the Campbell Dairy coming to town. So we kind of capitalized on that to have another meeting, which provided a place for these committees to give an update.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say there's a deadline, but it gave each committee like, okay, we need to kind of have something to present by this next date so that it wouldn't just get dropped.
A little accountability, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And touching on that subject, I do remember one part that kept coming up, not as a negative, but when anything was going to happen, we had to get our small group out of the habit of looking up to us four and say, okay, this is what we want to do. How are we going to do that? It was like, no, we are hosting this conversation. We are not here for you to think of this stuff and us to carry out the work.
And so when teams had to come back and kind of check in at that extra meeting that you had, and they felt empowered to go out the work and do things, what did you notice during that meeting?
I was just so proud of them. Like, they went after this. They went after all of it. So they were going after grants and, I mean, you name it.
Two of the committees really took off. The playground committee and the convenience store gas station. Those two totally took off. The playground committee, they were applying for grants. They were seeking out where they can get funding and how to move forward and kind of picking out equipment so that we had a goal in mind, a visual. And the convenience store gas station, they were doing research, asking around other businesses locally around in our area, trying to see, you know, what would it take to get something here. The mural signage committee at that time didn't have a chance to meet yet, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they had a representative from each of those committees come up and give the update.
And so today we are, gosh, are we 2 years out from when you had your last conversations?
No, I would say about a year.
Okay.
1 year now.
1 year?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What has changed in Campbell since then? Have those committees accomplished their goals?
Yeah, one of the major things, we now have a disc golf course in the city park that was also now kind of taken over by, is it the 4-H, Deanne?
Yes. Yep.
So the 4-H has now adopted that, but it was the leadership of whoever was in that meeting to spark it and organize it and then take it further. So they have already, they've got their signs up. We had the grand opening. It's awesome. They've got sponsorships on all their signs. And then when she's talking about the playground, the fact is our existing school playground wasn't accessible really for the little, the preschool and littlers. So that's what their goal was to get a playground set that was more accessible to the teeny tinies.
And a way to be more appealing to younger families.
Right.
Because younger families who are starting out having kids, you know, they like to have a place for their kids to play and not necessarily having to drive all the way to Breckenridge or Wahpeton to just go to a mm-hmm. park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so the playground committee, like I said, they got a visual goal. They picked, you know, what they wanted to get. They got estimates and costs. They knew how much it was going to cost to install it, kind of start to finish. And they went after it. And they mm-hmm. raised enough money and got the equipment. And they actually, we installed it this summer and have the grand opening for that too. And so that was less than a year from that project start that they completed it. And in yeah. the process, they actually changed that committee name, not to just be called the Playground Committee, but it's actually the Campbell Improvement Committee.
Mm-hmm.
So that it'll continue now. They met again, I think last Monday or the Monday before maybe, to say, okay, now what's next? And so it's actually a way, I think, to keep this conversation going.
Oh my gosh, I have chills right now. That is so exciting to hear.
It was inspiring when the playground went up and when that disc golf course opened. It was incredible. It's like, this is not just Campbell. Look at, this is in Campbell.
It was a way to connect. Individuals had the same feeling and drive, you know, wanting to do this. So it was a way to say, hey, I feel that way too. Oh, you do? Oh, you do too? You do too? Mm-hmm. Like, we just, to make that connection and make the voice louder rather than individually.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what are the plans for the future? You mentioned now that you have the Campbell Improvement Committee. Are there other future goals that have come from this?
I think they're in the works right now. I think with keeping or having the Campbell Improvement Committee, I think we'll use that platform perhaps to see what the next move is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely still conversations happening. Actually, just yesterday at church, a fellow was talking about trying to get a broaster into our area or whatever, what may be connected with the restaurant or whatnot. But, you know, so people are still thinking and, you know, trying to help our community grow and what do we need.
And that's the good part of having two large, strong successes already,
right,
is that they've seen that it can be done. So, I mean, the next one thing, the next three things, they don't have to be that big, but just, you know, that people are willing.
What advice would you give to someone who's listening to the podcast and is excited about what they're hearing, but still a little hesitant to actually go through it? What advice do you have to offer that would help them get this started in their own community?
My first thought is don't give up and don't rush into it either. Take the time to really think about it and formulate your initial team and go through the steps. Be patient with the process, because it didn't happen overnight. For us, it was stretched over. Initially, the meetings were over four months, but we had training, you know, months before that.
Mm-hmm.
So be patient, don't give up, and do take your time though.
I think it's vital to find other people who are going to balance you. Whatever your strengths are, they have to have different strengths for this to flow naturally. Because if you're both, you know, strong speakers, or if you're both people who like to listen to the whole entire thing and then have something to say at the end, you have to have one of all these different hats to wear. Because the balance in all of this, I think, is very key. when it comes to presenting the right type of conversation.
Well, I want to thank both of you for the great work that you did. I also want to recognize the other two members of your team who weren't able to be a part of our call, Rebecca Christensen and Karen Veger. Did I say their names?
Veger. Yep. Veger. Karen Veger. Yep.
I want to recognize those ladies as well, because I know the four of you did a lot of work to make this happen, and Campbell is definitely benefiting from that.
Awesome. Thanks, Christy.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you to Deanne and Shanna for joining me today to help us learn about the work that they and others did in the community of Campbell. Make sure to visit our website, www.extension.umn.edu/community-development, where you will find our podcast page. You'll also find our civic engagement model and other information about the Center of Community Vitality. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date on new research and resources for communities and those who lead them. I hope that you will join me again for another episode of Vital Connections on Air.